Appreciate those song selections. It leads into our lesson today of walking with God. According to medical research, walking is one of the best forms of exercise. It improves fitness, cardiac health, alleviates depression, improves mood. It prevents weight gain, creates less stress on the joints, and the benefits go on and on. If you look at what experts say, so-called experts say, that is benefits of walking. If gas prices go much higher, I guess it will be where we how we get from place to place pretty soon as well. Here's some interesting facts. The average person takes anywhere from 7,000 to 8,000 steps each day. That multiplies out to about 2.5 million steps each year. 115,000 miles you will walk in your lifetime. You know, the Fitbit watches and the ones that track your steps, I have one of those. And I had a friend, her and her husband were both had those, and they'd wear them to work, and they were trying to compete with each other to see who would get the most steps in a day. And she was a teacher. And he kept winning. Every day he'd have more steps. So one day she determined she was going to make sure she had more steps that day. So when her first grade class went to PE, she took her Fitbit and put it on one of her more active first grade boys and sent him off to the gym. And that day she won. I think she eventually told him what she had done. But we track our steps. We see how many steps we get because we see there is a benefit to that type of exercise. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, bodily training is slightly beneficial, but godliness is beneficial for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. What Paul tells us there is, you know, we look at this and we say, yes, it's beneficial, this exercise, walking, it's really beneficial to us. Paul says, yeah, to do you a little bit of good. But what's really important, Paul says, is your spiritual walk, your spiritual exercise. Godliness, that's what is the most important. That's what is the most beneficial. As we look through the scriptures, and I have several here, I'm just going to run through some slides of those, because many scriptures mention this idea of walking to denote faithful living in our life. For instance, in Galatians 5 and verse 16, we're told, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. In Colossians 2 and verse 6 and 7, therefore as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. In Ephesians 5 and verse 2, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself for you. And also there in Ephesians 5, look on down to verse 8, and it says, for you were once in darkness, now you are in light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then finally in that same chapter in verse 15, He says, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And there's other scriptures that we could look to show that our way of life, the way that we live, is denoted by this idea of walking. God wants us to understand that the Christian requires a lifetime of walking with Him. What does it mean to walk with God? Well, let's begin by looking at some characters that did just that. If you look back in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, we read about a man named Enoch. And it says specifically about Enoch, this statement is made that he walked with God. It says there in Genesis 5 verse 25, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Enoch was a man who was Adam's great, 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 great grandson. He was Noah's great grandfather. He was also the father of Methuselah. As read earlier in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it also tells us about Enoch as he is mentioned in that great chapter of faith where it says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him, for before he was taken up, he was attested to have been pleasing to God. There's a couple of significant things that are mentioned here about Enoch. First of all, Enoch is one of only two people in the scriptures revealed to us that escaped death altogether, Elijah being the other one. That he did not die, it says that God just took him. So that's a significant thing that we read because it didn't happen to many people. The only other one that we have record of course, as I said, Elijah. He lived on this earth 365 years, it tells us, which at that time was a young man compared to others. We think of that as a long time, but considering that other people are living to be 800, 900 years old during those days. By the way, his son Methuselah, 969 years, the oldest on record to ever live. So Enoch was relatively young when God took him by those standards at 365 years. But here's the only other person, except for Jesus himself, where it's written about him in the Bible that he pleased God, that he was pleasing to God. That is explicitly stated about him there in Hebrews chapter 11. So what made Enoch pleasing to God? What made it where he walked with God? How did he do that? Well, in Hebrews 11, as we just read in verse 5, read on down to verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and he approves to be one who rewards those who seek him. I think we have to put those verses together in verse 5 and verse 6. You know, I think often we pull this verse 6 and make application to it, and we don't go back to verse 5. Well, it's a continuation of what is being said about Enoch and the fact that he pleased God. It says there in verse 5 again, he was pleasing to God. Then verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. So what does that tell us? It means that Enoch's faith is how he walked with God. And what was it about Enoch's faith? Well, first of all, it says that without faith it's impossible to please him, for one must come to God, must believe that he is or that he exists. We have to believe in the existence of God in order to walk with God. Now that seems kind of like obvious, doesn't it? But there's many today who deny the even existence of God. Enoch believed that God existed. He believed that God is. And that's important. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it tells us that faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof or an evidence of things not seen. Part of our faith is believing in the existence of God. And there's no scientific experiment that we can do to prove that God exists. We cannot know God by sight. That's where faith comes in. But by faith, it's based on a lot of evidence. I think that's what the Hebrew writer is telling us here in verse 1, the evidence or the proof of things not seen. There's a lot of evidence out there that leads us to have that faith that indeed God does exist. Just consider the design of the universe, the fact that the size of the earth is perfect. If it were a little bit smaller, then there would be no atmosphere to sustain life. That's the problem with Mars. It's smaller, it can't sustain life. If it were larger, then it would be more like Jupiter and Saturn, where the atmosphere would have free hydrogen, and that would not sustain life as well. Science tells us these things. Science tells us the distance from the sun of the earth is precisely in the place that it must be. Even if it was a little bit further away, it'd be too cold. If it was closer, it would be too hot. The tilt of the earth axis, for instance, ensures our seasons, and it's done in just the exact precise way that it needs to happen. From very early age in science classes, the standards in our state are talk about interdependence in science. Interdependence is one organism depends on another organism to survive, and without one another, they can't survive. And how it all works together with precision. And then that same science will try to tell us that all happened by chance. Just coincidence that all that came together. You know, it makes more sense to me that a design like we have throughout all of the universe and all of nature, a design like that needs a designer. There's a designer behind it all. That to me is more logical even to believe. That's the evidence. And we could go on and on with more and more evidences that lead us back to a design with a designer, and that is God. That's why I believe that God exists. But another part of our faith is that it's what it says about Enoch is that he seeks God. God wants us to seek him. And we can have a relationship with him. It's not just that God exists, but it's that we can have a relationship with the Almighty Creator of all things. We can have that relationship. Albert Einstein once said, "Certainly there is a God. Any man who doesn't believe in a cosmic force is a fool, but we can never know him." As brilliant as Einstein was, he got that one wrong. Yes, there is a God, but he said we cannot know him. We cannot have a relationship with him. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, the Lord says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." The Lord says you can find me. The Lord says you can have that relationship with me. If you seek after me with all your heart, you will find me. You will have that relationship with me. In Luke chapter 11, I believe that's what Jesus is getting at too, when he says, "Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened." If we seek with all our heart, we will find the Lord. We can have that relationship with him. And that's the wonderful thing about our God. The wonderful thing is, it's not that he is just there, but it's that he loves us, that he cares for us, and that he wants us to seek him, and he wants to have that relationship with us. You want to walk with God, then you seek God, and you will find him. You want to walk with God, you can have that relationship with him. And then the last part of that it tells concerning Enoch, that he pleased God, and the faith that pleases God is that we have to have confidence in what God tells us. Not only that God is there, not only that we can have this relationship with him, but know that when God says something and makes a promise to us, that he's going to keep it. And that's the idea here in Hebrews 11 again. God will reward our faith. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm reminded of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we studied this if you're in the auditorium class on last Sunday evening. But Paul here, we see his confidence in the promise of God. As he was sitting in a prison cell, knowing that he was probably about to be executed because of his stand for the gospel. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, he tells Timothy, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come." He knew that death was imminent. He says, "I fought the good fight." He says, I finished the course. I have kept the faith. "In the future there's reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not to only me, but to all who have loved his appearing." The point that Paul's making is, my faith will be rewarded. I have ran the race. I have kept the faith. And as a result, God has promised me that there is a reward that's awaiting me. And Paul was confident that that was going to happen for him. That's the walk with God that we need. The confidence that we have in the power of God and in the promises that he makes to us. Enoch believed and knew God in a personal and loving way. He had faith in God, that God was there. He knew that he could walk with God, that he could have that relationship with God. He sought after God. And ultimately he knew that what God promised, God was going to keep. Enoch walked with God. Another character that we read about that walked with God, where this statement is made, is Noah. Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, these are the records of the generation of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. And there it is, Noah walked with God. Noah was like Enoch. He walked with God. And he walked with God in a time where it wasn't easy to walk with God. If you look at the verses that preceded verse 9, look back to verse 5. It says, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord says, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. From man to animals to creeping things to the birds of the sky, I am sorry that I have made them. As God looked down on the earth that he had created, he didn't see a creation that was pleasing to him. He didn't see a creation that was walking with him. God was disgusted, frankly, with what he saw. He saw that he needed to wipe out every living thing and basically start over. But in the midst of it all, there was one man who stood out. There was one man who was different than all the rest. There was one man who walked with God. In verse 8 of Genesis 6, it said that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was different. Noah walked with God. So how did Noah walk with God? Well, first of all, I think we look at Noah, and we all know the story behind Noah. The flood came, he built the ark. Everybody's familiar with that story. When we think about Noah, we see that Noah trusted God completely or fully. That's how he walked with God. In Genesis 6 and verse 11, it tells us that, as we said, the earth was corrupt. And the sight of God, the earth was filled with violence. God looked down on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt for all flesh and corrupt for the way upon the earth. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. There was nothing logical about what God just told Noah to do. Noah was not a shipbuilder. Noah was living in an area today that we know as the Middle Eastern desert, dry, sandy area. God says, build a giant ark in the middle of the desert, far away from any body of water that could support this ark floating even. But you're going to build it out in the middle of the desert. And this wasn't something that was going to happen in a week or two or even a month. It was going to take 120 years before the flood was to come. And then there's Genesis 2 and verse 5 and 6, where it says there that the Lord had not sent rain upon the earth, but a mist used to come from the earth, the water the whole surface of the ground. Indication there is that Noah probably had never even seen rain, much less a flood. And now God said he was going to flood the entire world. Nothing was logical about that. Yet Noah trusted God. Noah trusted God completely and fully. Enough to build the ark in the middle of a dry desert when he didn't fully understand everything that God was telling him to do or why God was telling him to do it. But what he knew was, God said, do it. I need to trust him. And so that's what he did. He didn't question God. He didn't say, you know, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, things he didn't know, he didn't see, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. He put his trust in God. God said it, I better do it. And that brings us to the next thing that led Noah in his walk with God. Not only did he trust in God fully, he obeyed God completely. In Genesis 6 and verse 22, it says concerning Noah, after God told him to build this ark, it says, thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. So he did. All that God commanded him to do, Noah did it. And when you think about what that required, it required a lot of attention to detail. God gave him some very specific things he wanted in this ark. It was had to be of a certain kind of wood, gopher wood. It had to be 450 feet long, a window and a door, three decks in the ark. There were very specific things that God told Noah he wanted in this ark. And Noah had to make those things according to what God had commanded. Verse 22, though, there I think says it all. If you have the NIV, it says Noah did everything just as God had commanded him. That's what Noah did. He obeyed God completely. Obedience is a result, really, of our trust. That first thing that we talked about with Noah. When we fully trust God, then it's going to lead us to obey God. There are going to be times where we don't understand God's plan. And there's going to be times maybe where we don't understand His timing or His ways or why He's doing things the way He does them. Or maybe we would do things differently and we don't understand all that. That's when we have to trust God and continue to obey Him. God doesn't require that we understand the why. But what God does require, if we're going to walk with Him, means that we trust Him and obey Him. That'd make a good song, wouldn't it? Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. What else about Noah's walk with God? Well, Noah walked with God because he was thankful. Think about for a moment if you'd been Noah, you'd been on that ark, cooped up inside with every kind of smelly animal for over a year. Your feet had not even touched dry ground in over a year after you've been on that ark. What'd be the first thing you do when you got off that boat? Go take a shower and get that animal smell off of you, maybe. What was the first thing that Noah did? The very first thing when he got off the ark? Genesis 8 and verse 20 and 21. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal, of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings to the Lord. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. The first thing Noah did when he got off of that ark was offer praise and thanks and worship to God. Noah walked with God and was thankful to God. Noah thanked God, and God was pleased with Noah. And Noah's praise and worship to God pleased God. God smelled the soothing aroma. It was pleasing to Him. You see, to walk with God, we have to show gratitude to God. We have to be thankful for the blessings that God gives us. As Noah did, that was the first thing he thought about when he got off that ark. I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to thank Him for the salvation that he had brought to Noah and his family. Noah wasn't upset that he'd been stuck on this ark for so long. No, he understood the blessing that God had given him. And because of that, he was thankful and showed gratitude to God. People who walk with God are thankful for the blessings they receive. People that walk with God acknowledge God and the blessings that come from Him. People that walk with God know it's not all on them, that they didn't create these things on their own. They know that when good happens to them and when they're blessed from God, that it does come from God. That's where good and perfect gifts come from. And so if we walk with God, we will acknowledge the blessings of God. And we will be thankful to God and we will praise Him and worship Him for those things. So as we think about walking with God, we see two great examples here. Enoch and Noah. Two men that it's written expressly that they walked with God. If we want to walk with God, then we need to be like Enoch. And we need to be like Noah. We need to believe that first God exists, that He is there. But not just that He exists, we need to seek Him and know that we can have that relationship with Him. That He loves us and that He cares for us. That we can be His children. That He is there to help us. That we can talk to Him. That He will listen to us. We seek Him. We can read about His promises in His Word and know that He keeps His promises. That the things that God tells us, we can have confidence in those things. And we too can walk with God. If we're going to walk with God, then we have to put our trust in Him fully. Even when we don't understand everything that's happening in our lives or why things are happening like they do. Even when we don't understand God's timing or God's ways, we still trust God that He knows what's best. And that He's going to do what's best for us in our life. And then we must offer complete obedience at all times to everything that God commands us to do. We must do all, as it says concerning Noah, that God commands us to do. And then we must be thankful, recognizing where blessings come from, acknowledging those from God, giving Him the thanks and the praise and the worship that only He deserves. That's how we walk with God. That's how Noah walked with God. That's how Enoch walked with God. And that's how we can have a walk with God today. That's how we can have a faith that is pleasing to Him. If you're here this morning and you have not began your walk with God, seek after Him today. Come believing in Him. Confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be baptized to become His child. Begin that relationship with God. Begin that walk in your life with Him. Maybe if you've done that in the past, and maybe you walked away from God. Maybe you need to come back to Him. If you've been unfaithful to Him and would like the prayers and encouragement that we can give you as your brethren, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.